This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. In just a moment, we're going to hear from Dr. Rebecca Gee, CEO of LSU Healthcare Services, formerly the health secretary in the first term of Governor John Bel Edwards. But the governor is busy right now fighting another potentially deadly storm. The Gulf Coast is looking down the barrel of a violent storm as Tropical Storm Sally is churning north, and it should affect the Louisiana coast. Now, how much we don't know. It comes less than 3 weeks after Hurricane Laura carved a wide path of destruction that left more than a third of Louisiana a disaster zone. Right now, about 13,000 people remain in hotels from the Lake Charles area, and most of them are in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And, of course, we could be in the midst of another big storm, but it appears right now that we may not get much of an impact in Baton Rouge, which, of course, would be a good thing. But we wish the best for those on the coast, not only in Louisiana, but in other neighboring states. The governor says, I know for a lot of people this storm seemed to come out of nowhere. We need everybody to pay attention. Let's take this one seriously. It could have what was feared during Hurricane Laura, life-threatening storm surge with hurricane-force winds. It is expected to be a Category 1 when it reaches land. And we will keep you posted because the next 24 hours should be critical in the path of Hurricane Sally. 877-217-5757 is your number. And talk at talklouisiana.org if you'd like to send an email. And as headlined, the former health secretary for the great state of Louisiana, the Honorable Rebecca Gee, who is now the CEO of LSU Healthcare Services. Good morning, Dr. Gee.
Good morning, Jim. Great to be with you again.
Always a pleasure. Right now in Louisiana, we have more than 5,000 people who have perished from COVID-19. And I mentioned in the intro that on Wednesday, it will be exactly 6 months since the first stay-at-home order. We're now in phase three. How is it looking?
Look, we've had some really hard times. I mean, when I was secretary, we had a very, very bad flu season, and that was 1,400 deaths. So just to put this in perspective, you know, we had in the New Orleans area some of the highest growth in cases in the world post-Mardi Gras because the virus was circulating before we knew it was there. We're doing better. We've got great leadership from our governor and here in New Orleans, our mayor. But we're not done with it. You know, we always like to say we may be done with COVID, but COVID's not done with us. We are doing better. Our schools are reopening. My children are in school. Things are looking good. But certainly having a storm coming at us doesn't help. And I wonder, you know, when the plague of locusts is coming, Jim.
Well, we have to be... We have to take precaution. We just don't know what's going next. But when we look at what's happening in the California area, and right now Portland, Oregon, has the worst air quality in the world, according to reports. Seattle is affected. We are in treacherous times in our country, which makes health even more important. And right now it's hard to fight a pandemic and natural disasters simultaneously, but that's where we are. And people like you have to be on the front lines. So for those who are working in the healthcare world, it is a time of challenge, isn't it?
It is. In fact, I'm seeing patients this afternoon, and I'm a gynecologist, and most of my patients are women with young children. And I tell you that this epidemic has hit them the hardest because trying to homeschool your kids, do your job, you know, keep your household organized and all of this and worry about your own health and your family. It's been a lot of stress. But, you know, our healthcare providers are our heroes. And many of them face the concern of dying of COVID for doing their jobs, but they've done their jobs and done them well. And we've learned how to treat COVID better, which is why even though when you have cases, it's some similar numbers, you're seeing lower deaths, not using the ventilators as much and so on. And this has been the most exciting, if not for the fact that it's actually real, you know, the COVID, the scientific advancements and all of the things that have happened quickly, like the development of exciting vaccine possibilities are unprecedented in our lifetime. So it's exciting to see the medical and scientific community do this heroic work, but it's certainly been very, very stressful for them. And I send everyone the best who has to go out and see patients and take care, particularly those in our ICUs who have been, you know, at this for a very long time.
Right now, the death count from the CDC for the U.S. is 198,572, so we're right at 200,000 people who have lost their lives to COVID-19. And a few months ago on this program, former Congressman Billy Tozan, who headed pharma, indicated that he was confident a vaccine would be in place by September. Well, we're at September 14th, and doesn't look like that will happen, and it may be months, or as some believe, a year or more that this happens. What do we do in the interim?
Well, First of all, I don't think it's going to be a year or more, but I am very dubious about a vaccine rollout that's timed, you know, shortly before an election, and whether there might be some political motives for that. Look, I mean, there are a lot of very legitimate, very good companies looking at vaccines. We have the European Union evaluating. So certainly as I look at the vaccines that become available, I'll evaluate all of the different protocols, what's out there, and when they're released as you know, what to determine that my family will receive. But look, you know, we're going to have a vaccine and life will move forward. It's just in the interim, we still have to remain vigilant and do the, you know, the Holy Trinity, you know, mask wearing, hand washing, and social distancing. And unfortunately, we may not like it, but that's what we have to do. And the good news is there's simple things. There's simple things that we can all do to lower our risk.
All right. The Holy Trinity. Mask wearing, hand washing, and social distancing. New Orleans was hit hard early, and Louisiana was, for a while, number one in the nation in the number of casualties to COVID-19. Now I looked, we're 11th in the country, and of course that's still, on a per capita basis, ahead of the pack. But that means that it was contained a great deal, and it was done doing exactly what you're saying. But now are people letting their guard down, or with businesses open, we're in phase three? Or are people still taking these precautions?
Well, look, I don't have a mask count, and it's very difficult to know, you know, at a societal level who's wearing their mask. What we do know is that things are looking better, and that's why the governor moved to phase three. Now, here in New Orleans, we have not moved yet. The mayor is prioritizing the school reopenings, and we do have to think of things as trade-offs. Look, we're going to open the schools. It means that our children are going to be congregating, whether they're wearing masks or not. The risk will go up. But I think many of us, including myself, feel that's a legitimate trade-off. It's very important for our children to learn, and that should be our priority. But then maybe we can't open bars to the same degree. Maybe we have to be even more vigilant about masks, not do, you know, parties or large gatherings when we come home. Let's prioritize our schools. So I think that's what's happening. You know, we've had great leadership. We've been very fortunate. I want to recognize Dr. Alex Biu, who's leaving at the end of this month. I brought him from the D.C. area, and he was somebody who believed he could make a difference here, and he has. And I think, you know, great leaders like him, this incredible Department of Health, new Secretary Phillips and the governor have done a phenomenal job, as well as leadership like that we have in New Orleans. So, you know, we're lucky to have good leaders who, as you said, Jim, have contained this, because it could look a lot worse here than it does. You know, certainly the hurricanes don't help, but we're fortunate to be in good shape relative, certainly, to the numbers we were seeing early on.
Ray in Prairieville. Good morning, Ray in Prairieville. You are on with Dr. Gee.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate your guest also. I like that thing about the Holy Trinity, and I wonder why that isn't mentioned a lot more. You know, we see the National Republican gatherings where people are there without no mask, standing next to each other. We need a strong emphasis nationally and statewide about, quote, the Holy Trinity.
All right. What do you say about how many times we need to implore people to keep doing this, Dr. Gee? Ray believes that we're not doing it enough, but if anybody listens to the governor, He says it a lot, but nationally, of course, we've had reports in the last week that the president was saying one thing privately and another thing publicly about the danger of COVID-19, and perhaps lives could have been saved. What do you think?
I do think lives could have been saved, Jim. I think it's very unfortunate. This virus should never have been politicized. This virus is an RNA strand surrounded by protein, and it is programmed to infect. You know, we are smarter than it. We are better than it. Our science is stronger and more capable than it is, and we will win. But these types of poor examples that have been shown, you know, don't help us. So thank God for our governor who does wear a mask and has implored the public to continue to do so.
877-217-5757. We're going to take a 90-second pause and spend a few more minutes with Dr. Gee, and then it's political scientist Pearson Cross here on Talk Louisiana. Glad you're with us, and we're back after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Dr. Rebecca Gee is with us for a few more moments. She was the head of the Department of Health, the state's largest agency, for 4 years under John Bel Edwards in term number one, and is now head of the LSU Healthcare Services. And she, of course, is a person who is in Louisiana by way of other places, her education, University of Pennsylvania, MS, and NMD from Cornell. And she knows her stuff, and she is here to talk about COVID-19. So if you have a question in our remaining time, we'd like to hear from you. 877-217-5757. Dr. Gee, what about schools right now? Kids are back at school, and people are, of course, wary about this. Nobody is more concerned about their life when something involves their children, and this involves the children in a most personal way. What do you think about having kids in schools with the possibility of transmission to younger people?
Look, I not only have a professional interest in this, I have a personal interest. We have five children, including two sets of twins, and they range from second grade all the way to 10th grade. And so, you know, they are in school. And so far, 3 weeks in, things are looking good for them. But, you know, it's very different. They have to be 6 feet apart during the day, wear masks, you know, activities are constrained. You know, the data are reassuring from South Korea, the largest study that's been done, showing that kids don't, the younger ones don't transmit quite as much, but the big ones might more. So, you know, I think we just got to take it day by day, but also make sacrifices in other areas for our kids to go back to school. We have done that in New Orleans. Our rate positive is less than 5%, which is a result of all of us working together, wearing masks, and so our children can go back to school in the safest way possible. So I think it's important to know if we're going to send our kids back. Again, there will be more COVID. We know that. But we can reduce our risk in other areas by being really conscious about mask wearing and making sure not to congregate and do other things. You know, let our kids go to school.
Now, the Saints opened yesterday to a deserted Superdome, victorious over Tampa Bay as Breeze beat Brady, but the LSU situation is different. There will be about 25,000 or so people in the stands a week from Saturday when LSU opens against Mississippi State. What about football? And, of course, we've got prep football that is starting as well. Is this a danger?
Look, I mean, the entire Southeastern Conference, except Vanderbilt, will host fans in stadium capacities that range from 20 to 25%. There will most definitely be some outbreaks related to these football games. The question is, how big will they be? And I think that not serving alcohol is a smart move, at least for the initial game, just to see how things are going. And make sure that you time the entry so that not everyone's going in and going out. There's certainly been a lot of thought and planning put into this by LSU leadership, and I'm confident that it will go very well. But it's important to watch as things progress. And one of the concerns that has been shown in some studies is heart inflammation related to COVID in some athletes. And so those are the kinds of things we need to be watching very carefully. But look, sports and athletic activity and exercise are an important part of life. our culture, our way of life. And so, you know, it's good for these things to continue, but again, with caution and with measures in place to reduce transmission.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace, you'll be our final caller for Dr. Gee. Oh. You were on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. And Dr. Gee, thank you. First of all, I'm so grateful for your the way you do your work, and I really admire you and for giving so much of yourself to our state. Now, I'm a senior citizen. Do I need to get a flu shot, or when should I do that? Thanks.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I took my girls and I, my husband, my other kids to the CVS the other day to get mine. It's very easy. There are lots of places that have them. But yes, of course, we may be facing a twindemic of both flu and COVID. And so reduce your risk of the thing you have control over, which is the flu. So getting your flu shot this year is a really important thing and something you can do to help others so that you're not taking up a hospital bed with the flu that you could have prevented with a flu shot. You know, let the healthcare providers take care of those with COVID. Thanks so much for that question. It was a great question.
Here's a question from a listener about the Mardi Gras season is just, 4 months away for the starters. Does that mean we may lose Mardi Gras again, or is there a possibility it can be, well, we didn't lose a lot of it, but will it be preserved for 2021?
Well, look, I've paid my dues for my float, and I sure hope we'll get to join it, but I don't know. And so we're going to have to take it day by day. Look, it's not, again, schools are priority. We can't risk a severe outbreak if there's not a vaccine that's widely available and in circulation widely by that time. We're really going to think carefully. And also those who are older, those who have chronic conditions, may well be advised not to ride. But let's hope we do. I'm hopeful. And as I said, I've paid my dues. So I'm ready to go if the conditions are safe.
Well, stay safe. And we look forward to talking with you again. I appreciate your update, Dr. Gee. And thanks for working
thanks,
today
Jim.
When a lot of people are not. Thank you very much.
Stay healthy. Thank you.
You too.